Hi, and welcome to this week's Expert HR podcast with me, Ellie Gelder. This week, we're providing a roundup of the state of employment tribunals today. It's been just over 3 years since the coalition government introduced employment tribunal fees, requiring claimants to pay a fee of up to £1,200 to bring a claim in the tribunal. Other major changes are also on the horizon, with the online publication of employment tribunal decisions from this autumn, and the government considering suggestions for employment tribunals to be brought into the main civil court structure. With me to talk us through these changes in more detail and their impact on employers is Principal Employment Law Editor Stephen Simpson. So Stephen, as most people are aware, the introduction of fees has had a big impact on claim numbers, hasn't it? What do the latest stats tell us?
So we had the latest stats from the Ministry of Justice on the 8th of September, and we can see that the number of tribunal claims has mostly levelled off now at a much lower rate than before tribunal fees were introduced.
So this is after the massive drop when tribunal fees were introduced?
Yes, when they were introduced in July 2013, the number of claims dropped roughly 70%. Since then, claims have steadied, only going up or down by a few percentage points.
So can you give us a snapshot of the current figures then?
So I always look at the unfair dismissal claims as a good indicator. So if we compare the 12 months from April 2014 to March 2015 and the 12 months from April 2015 to March 2016, there's been a 5% increase. That's fairly steady.
So what about awards for unfair dismissal?
So in 2014-15, the median unfair dismissal award was £6,955, but for 2015-16, that had actually gone up to £7,332. However, there's been a drastic drop in the number of unfair dismissal awards, down from 1,129 to 603, so that's a 50% drop.
So why do you think the unfair dismissal award level has gone up?
So it's possible that tribunal fees have eliminated many lower value claims, which, while perfectly valid, are not worth enough to justify paying the fee in the first place.
So it looks like employers are facing fewer claims, but if they lose, it's going to be more costly.
Yes, I think that's fair to say. So while there's still going to be some vexatious claims, if someone is willing to pay the fee now, they have a good reason. So awards are still going to be given for more serious examples of breaches of employment law, which have pushed the median award up, I think.
So are there any plans to review the tribunal fees regime?
So there was an official review of the impact of tribunal fees announced way back in June 2015, but the results still haven't been published well over a year on.
Have there been any other reviews?
June 2016, we had a Justice Committee report which concluded that the introduction of fees has had a significant adverse impact on access to justice and that fee levels should be dropped. The committee was particularly critical of the impact of fees on women alleging maternity and pregnancy discrimination.
So Stephen, do you think there's any chance that tribunal fees will be reduced or even abolished?
So I think the only hope now appears to be Unison's challenge to tribunal fees, which has been proceeding through the courts in the last few years and is due to go to the Supreme Court later in 2016.
So what is Unison arguing?
So to quote them, they're saying that fees have made it virtually impossible or excessively difficult for some individuals to exercise their employment rights and that the fees regime indirectly discriminates against some groups.
So did Unison give any examples?
It said that the claimants who are required to pay the highest fees, which includes £1,200 for a discrimination claim that goes all the way to a hearing, are disproportionately female.
And have any courts so far been convinced by those arguments?
No, the case was heard twice in the High Court and once in the Court of Appeal and rejected all three times.
So why has Unison's case failed so far?
So the suggestion from all the courts has been that there's not enough concrete evidence of disadvantage to any one group. So while everyone knows that certain groups are likely to be disadvantaged, such as pregnant women and disabled workers, the courts need concrete figures to back that assumption up.
Okay, so do we know when the Supreme Court will hear this case?
A date hasn't actually been officially set, but I understand it'll be heard in early December 2016.
So in relation to tribunal fees, is the position the same across the UK?
So I think it's important just to flag up that the Scottish Government has already said separately that it intends to abolish tribunal fees. We don't have a concrete date for that, but it would lead to a very unsatisfactory situation where employees in England and Wales effectively have fewer enforceable rights than employees in Scotland. I guess a cynical view would be that it makes Scotland a less attractive place to set up business.
Okay, so what other tribunal developments should employers know about?
So one key development to flag up is that in June, the government announced that from this autumn, there will be a website making tribunal judgments available online.
But tribunal cases aren't generally available online at the moment, are they?
No, currently anyone wanting to search decisions has to physically go to the Tribunal HQ in Bury St Edmunds for English and Welsh decisions or Glasgow for Scottish decisions and trawl through their system to get a hard copy. Copies of specific decisions can be ordered by mail for a fee. Only in Northern Ireland are first instance tribunal decisions available online.
Okay, so currently it's pretty hard to get hold of a copy of a decision. So which judgments will be available?
So the Courts and Tribunal Service has said that it will publish new employment tribunal judgments from England, Wales and Scotland.
But what about the older cases?
The Court Service hasn't yet made a decision about that, about placing past judgments online, but given the vast numbers involved, I'd suggest it's very unlikely.
So do we have any idea what the website will look like?
So if we go by the Northern Ireland example, it will be pretty basic, with fields to search for things like claimant, respondent, and a few other things like claim type. It's possible that there could be a page listing the newest judgments.
So anyone could go online and look for claimants or employers' names then?
Yes, so that means that employers could face a heightened risk of adverse publicity arising from tribunal proceedings. For example, journalists could check this news site every day and report on tribunal findings that could damage the employer's reputation. While tribunal rulings are of course already commonly making the papers, perhaps we'll see reports on cases that currently go under the radar.
So would it just be the national newspapers?
No, I could also envisage the likes of local newspapers taking interest, especially if there's a field on the new website to search by hearing location.
So would this increased exposure make settlements more likely, do you think?
I think so, yes, because if an employer knows that a judgment will be automatically available online, that's another thing to think about when deciding whether to settle the case. That already happens, of course, with disgruntled claimants, often seeking publicity for their case, but I think this new website takes that level of risk to another level, really.
Yes, because at the moment, members of the press can attend tribunal hearings, can't they? But obviously this website is going to increase the risk even more.
Yeah, just make it even easier to find cases.
And presumably this is going to affect those employers even where they think they've got quite a watertight defence.
Yes, I think it's important to say that employers should think about how a case will be viewed, even if the claimant appears to have no hope of getting any compensation. It's not uncommon for an employer to successfully defend a case, but for the case to reveal a negative aspect of the business. For example, an employer could justifiably dismiss a senior employee for gross misconduct after following a perfect procedure that may create a negative impression if the senior employee's bad behaviour is laid bare for everyone to see.
Absolutely. And what about job seekers looking up their prospective employers?
So it could be that job applicants will look up their prospective employer, which may look a lot less attractive as a place to work if there are lots of tribunal decisions against it.
And from the other side, do you think employers will be looking up job applicants?
You definitely see line managers checking to see if an applicant has brought a claim against a previous employer. Claimants have successfully argued in the past that they've been victimised by their new employer or prospective employer for bringing discrimination proceedings against a former employer.
So a word of caution there for employers thinking about that. So that's a development for the short term. Has there been any indication of Employment Tribunal's long-term future?
So Lord Justice Briggs' recent civil court structure review suggests that Employment Tribunals be brought within the main civil court structure and rebranded the Employment and Equalities Court, so it would essentially become a civil court with specialist employment judges.
So would that mean that the procedural rules for civil courts would have to be adopted in employment cases?
No, Lord Justice Briggs sees no reason why the separate Employment Tribunal Rules of Procedure couldn't be transplanted to the new environment.
So for those of us who aren't familiar with the Employment Tribunal Rules of Procedure, why would that be important, Stephen?
So the report talks about the culture of tribunal cases being maintained with tribunal rules of procedure designed to be less formal than in other courts. The creation of employment tribunals, of course, in the first place was to allow workplace disputes to be resolved in a place that's relatively less formal and intimidating than in the main court structure, such as the Magistrates' Court, the County Court and the High Court.
Did the report identify any potential problems?
So the main problem flagged up is that even if it's a great idea, the proposal would require time-consuming government restructuring and changes to primary legislation.
Were there any other interesting suggestions?
I think the one that jumps out at me really is the suggestion that employment cases of particular importance could skip past the Employment Tribunal and go straight to appeal in the Employment Appeal Tribunal.
So is there a precedent for that elsewhere?
The report gives examples of the High Court and the County Court, where civil cases of the greatest complexity and public importance can skip the County Court and go straight to the High Court.
And are there any potential problems with that suggestion?
I guess the obvious one is how would it be decided which cases go straight to the EAT? Assuming there's an application process for the parties to apply to skip straight to the appeal court, the parties might use applications strategically. For example, they could be used as a bargaining tool for settlements or possibly as a delaying tactic if they slow things down.
Some problems there then. What about the advantages?
I guess it could potentially speed up the resolution of cases and get a binding answer to important employment issues quicker for all employers.
So are issues currently taking a long time to go to appeal at the moment?
Yes, we've definitely noticed in the past few years that important employment issues either aren't going to appeal simply because there are fewer tribunal cases to appeal, or they're taking a long time to be appealed. For example, I'm sure HR professionals will have been frustrated with the amount of time it's taken to find out how they should approach their holiday pay calculations, just to give one example.
Yeah, that's a good example. So have any courts been particularly hard hit by the delays?
So the worst hit really is the Court of Appeal, which is the long delays, including for employment cases. Although Locke and British Gas, the case on commission in holiday pay, was fast-tracked, it still took 4 months between the EAT decision and the Court of Appeal hearing. And other cases are taking 3 or 4 years from being brought in the first place to getting a Court of Appeal decision. So I think that's increasingly going to be a problem for employers in the next few years.
That was a great roundup. Thanks, Stephen. And we'll obviously be keeping a close eye on what happens to the Unison appeal that Stephen mentioned in relation to tribunal fees, as well as the other potential reforms to tribunals, which Stephen also spoke about. You can look at the latest Employment Tribunal awards stat in more detail by going to our quick reference tool, where you'll be able to see awards broken down into different types of claim, for example, unfair dismissal, disability discrimination, and so on. That brings us to the end of this week's Expert HR podcast, which you've been listening to with me, Ellie Gelder. We'll be back next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.